sporty greetings to our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA Sonny Young. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to another expanded 30-minute edition of the Sunny Side of Sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
The Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports.
The Sunny Side of Sports Show.
Great show, bro.
This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports, right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Our starting line on the Sunny Side of Sports is African athletics. The world's fastest marathon runner, Jeffrey Mutai, will test his speed Saturday in a 10-kilometer road race in Prague, the Czech Republic. The 32-year-old Mutai, who will defend his New York City marathon title in early November, is expected to be challenged for the title in Prague by a few of his Kenyan countrymen. The energetic Andy Edwards has this preview for us from the Czech capital.
His best for 10K on the road is an impressive 27 minutes 19 seconds, achieved 3 years ago and 9 weeks after Jeffrey Mutai became the fastest marathon runner in history. That was in Boston in 2011, but the American course does not meet the requirements for official world records. Since then, he's broken the course record in the New York Marathon, a performance he rates even higher than his triumph in Boston. He arrived in Prague to test his form before the title defence in New York in early November. Now, among his rivals is Jeffrey Rono, the fellow Kenyan who surprised the world marathon record holder Wilson Kipsang to win the Olomouc half marathon 9 weeks ago here in the Czech Republic. Both men, the established star Mutai and the newcomer Rono, have a deep competitive streak which has taken them to elite level, yet are relaxed enough to share morning training runs and breakfast together. Jeffrey Mutai sees no contradiction in this.
Actually, a sport thing is a different, not like a boxing. Of course, even we don't have rivals. It's depending on your shape. And again, if you have something pain with the other colleague and you are not strong in the road, they will leave you. But the determination is only the shape which you have. It's not only to be rivals. But for me, I'm taking all my colleagues like my friends. So the shape is depending.
Since his triumph on debut in the half marathon, having entered as a pacemaker, Jeffrey Rono has improved his best at that distance to a truly world-class 59 minutes 45, with victory in Austria 2 weeks ago. He fears no rival, even Jeffrey Mutai.
I have no pressure. I am fine. I've been training well since then. And in two weeks ago, I was in another race in Austria. So I know my form is good. And if it all goes well, I'm expecting to stage another surprise.
The course record stands at 27 minutes 34, set 3 years ago by another Kenyan, Philemon Limo. Daniel Chibi, who won last year and finished just 1 second outside, also runs this time. But all Jeffrey Mutai's concentration is on performing to his best on Saturday evening.
Actually, when I'm coming to the 10K and a marathon, for me, I only focus for the race which I have already prepared myself. There is no race which I'm taking that it's some small race. For me, I usually taking like it's a big race so that it can help me in mentality to achieve in that race.
There's a strong Kenyan entry in the women's race, headed by Hella Kiprop, who is the fastest of five runners to have broken 32 minutes for the distance. Kiprop is preparing for an autumn marathon, the venue still to be decided, and looks to the 10K as a form guide.
My preparation is very okay. I come here to see my preparation about the marathon. So I want to see my speed. I know I will have a big competition, but I want to try my best.
The race itself is distinctive with an unusual start time of 7:30 in the evening, unlike so many morning or midday races. It's part of the Run Czech series of road races, which is growing in popularity, not least with the number of elite East African runners who are basing themselves in Prague. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Andy Edwards in Prague.
Ha! Hi, I'm Shegu Adeyemi, coming to you all the way from Lagos, Nigeria. Weekends are for sports. Nightline Africa Sports, that is. And every Sunday, I'll give you highlights of the top sports stories of the past week and the weekend. Nightline Africa Sports from the Voice of America. Let the games begin.
We got the game on.
This is for the world.
Game on, sports fans. Now let's go to South Sudan, Africa's newest country. It's a tough place for children to grow up. But in the capital, Juba, sports and Africa's favorite sport, football, are being used to develop healthy minds and healthy bodies in young South Sudanese. Magumi Davis Wakaringe tells us more from Juba.
Dozens of young South Sudanese come to Bulku Grounds almost every evening to play one of their favorite sports, soccer. Tonight, 11-year-old John William is waiting on the sidelines for his chance to play on the dusty pitch that is just a few hundred meters away from several government ministries. William watches as older boys play a hotly contested game on the rundown pitch. William says one day he wants to run onto a perfectly kept pitch at an international match wearing a South Sudan jersey.
I like football because when we play football, you feel fit. And when you play football, you can become a star of South Sudan. Like in Uganda there, they have stars, but here we don't have stars. That's why we train ourselves to help our country.
William says he's inspired by Argentinian soccer star Lionel Messi, who plays for Barcelona. William's teacher at Bulku A Primary School, Peter Odwa, says many kids in South Sudan have the athletic ability to become very good at sports, including soccer. What they are lacking is equipment and facilities to train.
The students or the pupils, they lack the sport, the football, one, then even the volleyball for the girls and even for the boys. So I need only all these things in my school and in all schools in Southern Sudan.
In Central Equatoria State, sports activities are included in the school curriculum, says Amos Longa Modi, the Director for Quality Promotion and Innovation in the Ministry of Education for the state.
Normally, an active body becomes give us an active mind. When children play and then they're given specific areas of games, you find that these games develop even their mind, develop their body. And so it's important that they must be given all the opportunities around within the learning environment.
But he acknowledges there's not enough equipment or infrastructure in South Sudan to allow children to fully develop their sporting talents. Peter Baptist Abakar, the undersecretary in the Ministry of Youth and Sports, says the any sports infrastructure in South Sudan was destroyed during the decades-long civil war that led to the creation of South Sudan and the current crisis in the country. He says the government is trying to put that right.
We also have to review some of our policies. For example, at the moment, sports is not being actively practiced in schools. And you can't have any promotion of sports and its development if you don't start with the young people, the children down there. Sports now has become a right. It is even a human right.
He says his ministry is working with the Ministry of Education to incorporate sports in the education system. Abakar says South Sudan has been admitted to some international sports organizations like FIFA, and that will help bring in funds to develop sports. But William and other young people here are not waiting for the government to fix things so they can play. They have already decided they will play football, in spite of the hardships they face, like not having a ball to play with. To overcome that, they pulled their pocket money and came up with enough to buy a soccer ball. It is an old, ordinary soccer ball, not one of the new World Cup replicas. And it cost the boys 100 South Sudanese pounds, or around $30. 14-year-old Luke Yokwe is proud as punch of that football.
We get that ball with all our money. We collect £2, £2, that's why you can buy a ball.
Yokwe says he was encouraged by his mother to play soccer. She thinks that one day he might be able to make a living as a soccer player. But Yokwe wants to do better than just make a living at his favorite sports. He wants to be South Sudan's answer to Cote d'Ivoire and Chelsea striker Didier Drogba. But this evening, Yokwe and William have to wait their turn to play with the only soccer ball they have for around 50 soccer-loving kids. When the older boys kick the ball out of bounds, the young kids take it and run with it. In their dreams, if they take that old, ordinary football and run with it today, they might just find themselves one day running onto a manicured pitch, kicking a FIFA-approved soccer ball and helping their young country to make its mark on the international stage. And Yokwe's mother will be proud as punch of her son when that happens. For VOA News, I am Mugume Desirakarinj in Juba.
Thanks, Magumi. Enjoyed your report from Juba. It's a big weekend in African football. There are 14 qualifying matches scheduled for next year's Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Morocco. In one of the fixtures Saturday, 2012 Nations Cup champion Zambia will host Mozambique in Ndola. The Zambians warmed up for the game with a friendly victory over Sudan at a new stadium in the capital, Lusaka, as we hear now from our African football guru, David Legg.
A nice 3-1 win for Zambia over Sudan. Now, this was a very important game for Zambia, firstly, because it was the opening of the National Heroes Stadium. That's the new national stadium in Lusaka, Chinese-built, 60,000 capacity. The Zambian government, Sonny, I'm sure they want to invite me to come and inspect it, but the invitation is stuck in the post somewhere. So I'll just have to rely on the pictures I've seen of it. And let me tell you, it's beautiful. I salute the Chinese architects and I salute the Zambian workers who built that stadium. Really, Sonny, it's ultra modern. It looks great. And it replaces what really had become a dilapidated independent stadium. It was a ground, admittedly, where Zambia were almost impossible to beat. They had a tremendous home record. But unfortunately, the stadium slowly but surely was falling apart, and eventually there were safety issues and it had to be closed. But congratulations to the people of Zambia. Great new stadium. It was also, Sonny, the first appearance of the new Zambian coach, Honor Janza. I just love that first name. And I can see the headline writers in the newspapers are going to have a great time, you know, honorable victory, honorable defeat, etc., etc. Anyway, he took over from Patrice Baumel. He's a Frenchman. He's gone off to work with Hervé Renard at Ivory Coast. So with a new stadium, a new coach, and fittingly, I suppose, a Zambian victory.
David, you mentioned that Chinese-built stadium in Zambia. It seems like the Chinese have also been active in other areas of Africa. Can you give us your thoughts?
Yes, Sonny. If you look at the new stadiums over the last 5 years, I would guess that about 80% of them are, to use that phrase again, Chinese built. It's a very wise and shrewd move by the Chinese because politicians, they love nothing better than a national stadium because in Africa, those football stadiums are also, of course, used for political rallies. The one I've seen in Zambia, I was really taken aback when I saw the pictures. I think they would be proud of that stadium in Barcelona or Madrid or Paris or London. Trust me, it really looks brilliant. And I think the key thing, Sonny, and this is sometimes where Africa falls down, is the maintenance. It's got to be kept up. You know, there were some magnificent stadiums that were built 30 or 40 years ago and are now in a state of advanced decay. They're basically going to have to be knocked down. I'm not going to embarrass the national federations by naming them, but I think anybody who knows and has seen some of these stadiums in Africa, it's really sad. So that's the key thing, Sonny, is one thing building them, but it's another making sure that they're kept in prime condition, that they are maintained. And yes, the Chinese, they're very strong around Africa when it comes to their to the building of national stadiums. And interestingly, there's no sort of set look to all these stadiums. They vary quite a bit, so obviously different architects. And I also feel that's nice. You don't want the same looking stadium in every country in Africa.
David, let's turn to Europe now. Can you give us some recent highlights involving African players?
I was going to say the shock of the weekend in the English Premier League. I'm not sure the word shock is strong enough. I've seen the word sensation used, so let's go with that. The sensation of the weekend was Stoke City, a side with a pretty mediocre away record. They went to Manchester City, the defending champions, and they won 1-0. And I'm very proud to tell you and all of Africa that the winning goal was scored by Mame Biram Diouf. He's a Senegalese player who recently joined Stoke City from the German club Hannover. And not only did he score the goal, he scored a brilliant goal. It was a solo effort, and right at the end, he stuck the ball between the legs of England goalkeeper Joe Hart. And I always feel, Sonny, there's nothing more humiliating for a goalkeeper when he looks at the highlights when he gets home in the evening and to see that ball going between his legs. And that's what Diouf did. Interesting gentleman, Monsieur Diouf. He was once on the books of Manchester United. And he also was briefly with Blackburn Rovers, but made very few appearances. He then moved to Germany and did quite well with Hannover. And now he's back at Stoke City. And he's certainly got something to tell his grandchildren. He's got the high-definition version on TV of that goal. And it's worth playing over and over again. Another African in action in that match did not have such a good time. That's the reigning African Footballer of the Year, Yaya Toure. He had a shot that came back off the woodwork in the first half. And later in the match, he was yellow carded. So a great day for Diouf and not such a great day for Toure. Samuel Eto'o got on the mark for Everton in his first appearance. And Everton scored 3 goals. And that's the good side of the story. The bad side is that Chelsea scored 6. I repeat, 6 goals at Goodison Park. Now, this season, a lot of people feel that Jose Mourinho's side are going to win the English Premier League. And I must say, Sonny, if you can go to Everton and score 6 goals, you've got something special in the closet. If we then switch, Sonny, over to Italy, Sully Montari of AC Milan, the Ghana midfielder, he was one of the goal scorers in a 3-1 win for AC Milan over Lazio at the San Siro Stadium, and that's a good start for Montari. Now, Montari, of course, was expelled from the Ghana World Cup squad for ill discipline during the tournament in Brazil, and hopefully he's put that behind him. He's now going to concentrate on his football, and certainly a good start for him in Italy.
And David, what do the standings look like in the top European leagues?
Right, Sonny, we'll concentrate this week on England and Spain. And in England, there's just 2 clubs with maximum points from 3 games, and they are Chelsea, expected, and Swansea City, most unexpected. Swansea narrowly avoided relegation last year, and it's great that they're up there at the top with 3 consecutive victories. But I don't think I'm being too brave, Sonny, when I say that in a couple of months' time, while it's quite likely that Chelsea will still be there, I would expect Swansea will have drifted down towards mid-table. I, of course, as every Voice of America listener know, I'm not a big fan of Manchester United. I've always said, Sonny, I'm not ashamed to repeat it, there are 2 types of football supporters in the world. There are those who support Manchester United, and there are those who support a team that are playing against Manchester United. I'm a proud member, Sonny, of the second bunch. I'm not at all displeased to tell you, Sonny, that Manchester United were held 0-0 at the weekend by Burnley. So they're still looking for their first victory. They've had 2 draws and 1 loss. They had lost at home to Swansea, drew away to Sunderland, and now drew away to Burnley. However, Falcao, the Colombian striker who was such a sensation at Atletico Madrid in Spain, he has now signed a 1-year loan agreement from the French club Monaco. He's going to Manchester United. So, Sonny, that is going to strengthen the side no end. Another pleasing thing for United supporters is that Angel Di Maria, the Argentinian star. He made his debut for United against Burnley, and he's produced some magical touches. He really looked a class act. You could see he's been playing in Spain for Real Madrid, and it really showed up. Back to the table, Sonny. Chelsea and Swansea with 9 points. And then another surprise, Aston Villa with 7, another side that were flirting with relegation last year. And then on 6 points, you got some more names you would expect to be up towards the top of the table. You've got Manchester City, you've got Liverpool, you've got Tottenham. And then on 5 points, you've got Arsenal. So the surprise packet so far, Sonny, Swansea and Aston Villa. But it's a fairy tale, but I don't expect it to last too long. And I think Chelsea, definitely, with 6 goals at Everton, they're the side to watch. If we then switch to Spain, an extraordinary match I watched at the weekend between Real Sociedad and Real Madrid. Real Madrid raced into a 2-goal lead. I sat back, comfortable, and expected, well, it's going to be something like 6-2 for the Madrid club. Not a chance, Sonny. Back came Sociedad. They leveled before halftime, scored 2 more goals in the second half, and emerged 4-2 winners. Fantastic game of football. Both sides, typical of what we saw in Brazil. They wanted to attack. They wanted to score goals. It was 4-2. It could have been 6-4. The other big side, of course, in Spain, Barcelona, they won 1-0 away at Villarreal, so they're the early leaders. And then a club we mustn't forget, they're now part, I think, of what we would call the big three, Atletico Madrid. They had a 2-1 home victory. And it's early days yet, but Barcelona look hell-bent on regaining a title they lost last year. Real Madrid have still got those defensive problems that they've had all along, but their policy, of course, has always been, if the opposition scored 3 goals, we're going to score 4. And with the likes of Ronaldo, that's normally fairly possible. And then you've got Atletico Madrid, a tough, hard side. Don't score too many goals by Spanish standard, but they don't concede many either.
Voice of America!
David, it's time now on The Voice of America to announce the 5 winners of your recent African football quiz question. First, just to refresh our listeners' memories, why don't you give out the question one more time, David, with the correct answer, and then I'll shout out the 5 winners.
Yes, of course, Sonny. My question was, which has been the most successful coach in CAF club competitions? Now, that included the Champions League and Confederation Cup and Super Cup. They're the current 3 competitions. But also, and we stress this, Sonny, it included the African Cup Winners' Cup and the CAF Cup. The Cup Winners' Cup and CAF Cup, they were stopped in 2003 and replaced by the Confederation Cup. And the winner, Sonny, is Manuel José. He's Portuguese. He was the former coach of Al Ahly of Egypt. A lot of people got that right, but some got the figure for titles wrong, and others just completely forgot to mention the number of titles he won. Well, the correct answer for the titles is 8, and that's split into 2 fours. 4 CAF Champions Leagues and 4 CAF Super Cups. So the winner is Manuel José. All his wins came at Al Ahly of Egypt. 4 in the Champions League, 4 in the Super Cup, and that gives you a total of 8. And thanks again to all those who entered.
Yes, thanks very much for all your entries. And the first 5 listeners to send correct entries are as follows. Enwoke Chooks, who listens in from Abuja, Nigeria's political capital. Congratulations to Enwoke. Our second winner, and I believe it's the first, from the Gambia, Kemo Fati. Kemo Fati, who writes from Banjul in the Gambia. Congratulations to Kemo. We have a repeat winner from Manchester, England, David Huff. Rhymes with rough. Is that correct, David? Rhymes with rough. David
Huff.
That's
right. Rough, tough. But he has not had enough when it comes to quizzes.
Not had enough, David Huff. Congratulations again to David. Tare Desmond, we will have to get his address. We have an email address from Tare, and he is one of our winners. And the last winner, I think it might be our first winner from South Africa, and maybe David can help me with the pronunciation, Bato Molosankwe. Bato Molosankwe.
Yeah, Sonny, 9.5 out of 10, Sonny. Bato Molosankwe.
Bato Molosankwe.
Bato Molosankwe.
Congratulations to Bato.
Yeah, Sonny, and that's a female winner, so really special. First winner from South Africa, and also female, so that's great. One as many and possible females to be listening to the Sunny Side of Sport every week. Talking of women's football, coming up in October in Namibia, we'll have the African Women's Championship. And every week, Sonny, I get a couple of emails giving me a gentle smack, telling me, you know, why is there not more coverage of women's football? Well, I promise you, come the African Women's Championship in Namibia in October, there'll be full coverage on the Sunny Side of Sport. That's a pledge. And if I don't keep it, you can all smack me.
That is a pledge, and I know David will keep that pledge. And congratulations once again to our 5 winners. You'll all be receiving some of those delightful Voice of America goodies. And I know David is already busy formulating his next African football quiz question. Right, David?
Yeah, Sonny. I'm worried that Manuel Jose was a bit too soft for our listeners. You know, the next one's going to be a killer. It's going to be tough. And that rhymes with David, you know who.
Thanks, David. That's our African football guru, David Legg, speaking with us once again from Johannesburg, South Africa.
This is Sonny Sido Sports.
Here's a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Senegal, which reached the knockout round of 16 at the FIBA Men's Basketball World Cup in Spain. The Senegalese suffered a heartbreaking 81-79 overtime loss to the Philippines on Thursday to end group play with a record of 2 victories, 3 defeats, and 7 points. But that record was good enough to move on at the World Championship Basketball Tournament. Senegal now faces the daunting prospect of playing unbeaten Spain, one of the favorites for the gold medal, on Saturday in Madrid. The 2 other African teams competing in Spain, Angola and Egypt, were both eliminated after the group stage. The Angolans finished on a winning note, though. They beat Australia Thursday 91-83. The Angolans, like the Senegalese, had 2 wins and 3 losses in the group stage. The Egyptians, meanwhile, lost all 5 of their group games. They were trounced by Brazil Thursday 128-65. Let's take a look at the round of 16 matches this weekend. As I mentioned, host Spain will be a heavy favorite when it plays Senegal on Saturday. Also Saturday, Croatia will face France, Slovenia will play the Dominican Republic, and the unbeaten USA, the defending world and Olympic champion, will meet regional neighbor Mexico. On Sunday, there will be 4 more games. Greece, also unbeaten in the group stage, will go against Serbia. Brazil will play South American neighbor Argentina. Lithuania is matched against New Zealand, and Turkey will take on Australia. The final at the FIBA Basketball World Cup is scheduled for September 14th in Madrid, Spain. Finally, let's give another Sunny Side of Sports salute to Swiss tennis star Roger Federer, who rallied from 2 sets down to beat Frenchman Gaël Monfils in the maximum 5 sets and advance to the semifinals at the U.S. Open in New York. Federer is bidding for his 6th U.S. Open singles title and record-extending 18th Grand Slam championship. He'll next play Croatia's Marin Cilic on Saturday. The other semifinal, world number 1 Novak Djokovic against Japan's Kei Nishikori. And that wraps up another expanded edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America engineer Audrius Regis for his technical support of the program. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.